few years ago in the United Kingdom, a particular nonprofit organization did a countrywide study in the UK in all maximum security prisons. And the study was called the Forgiveness Project. Motivated by psychologists were eager to figure out if one's external circumstances cannot and will not change, so inmates in a maximum security prison that are in there for murder or rape, they're sentenced for life. So their external circumstances in their cell, in that prison, will never change until the day they die. They have no control over what's around them. That absolutely will be stable. How do these men and women, how do they come to live without anger, resentment, and bitterness? Obviously, you don't need a psychology degree to understand that folks who are guilty of such serious crimes and moral offenses live for the rest of their lives, insofar all things being equal, with extreme anger and extreme bitterness. And oftentimes, it's those very emotions, those very affections that led them to kill or to rape, whatever the crime might be. And as the Forgiveness Project gathered their research and compiled their data, they realized that forgiveness was absolutely key. But the second question is, what if the person they raped, the person they killed, and the family members don't forgive them? And the psychologist corrected the media and those looking on. And in the Forgiveness Project, these psychologists said, it's not that forgiveness, because oftentimes it never happens. And these inmates are well aware of that. They're reminded of it. They'll be visited by family members, and those family members will look them in the eye and say, I will never forgive you. And then they'll leave. Their external circumstances never change. But the psychologists found in these interviews and in this long study over a couple of decades, it started in the 90s and it ended in 2011, that it's forgiving themselves that made all the difference in the world. That if they could forgive themselves of what they did, joy and happiness, the lack of resentment, the relief of anger would soon settle in their hearts. And the most significant change happened to those that could believe in God. They recognized the God who created them, the God they believe in, forgave them of this sin. Of course, God can forgive any sin if we simply ask him. And presupposing that, they had the power, the ability to forgive themselves. And what was decades of anger and resentment over an act they'll never forget, they began to live with a lightheartedness, a happiness, and a joy. And so you have these men and women in their 60s and 70s in a maximum security prison, and they're actually rather happy because they realize that the God who forgave them gave them the ability to forgive themselves. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and we're all aware of that. This is one of two Sundays in the whole year that the priest wears a rose vestment. The rose-colored candle in the back is lit along with the other two violet candles for the first and second Sundays of Advent. And the reason why the priest wears rose today, and rose is brought to our mind, because traditionally and classically, rose has always been the color of joy. Traditionally, today is called Gaudete Sunday, meaning rejoice, St. Paul tells his people. Rejoice, for the Lord is near. So if there's any Sunday of the year, if there's any season of the year, the season of Advent and today, this Sunday, should be a day where we recognize, do we have joy and happiness in our lives? And clearly what that study can tell us, religious people, Christians, and we know this already, but I think we need the reaffirmation. Psychology tells us, and the study tells us, that our circumstances can and will change, but how easy is it for us to pigeonhole, to put on our external circumstances, our lack of joy? if my spouse would just change, if my kids would listen to me, if my boss would act differently, if that lady in front of me in the grocery line would just hurry up, I wouldn't be so angry right now. But we totally forget about ourselves, as if we're always perfect and we never make faults. And when the whining and complaining comes, the amount of arrogance in us is unbelievable. That we always bat 1,000 and it must be somebody else's fault every single time we're angry. Perhaps we're just angry people. And angry people, typically, and what that project tells us, what killers and rapists teach us, is that the way to overcome that anger is not for that person to change on the outside, not for our spouse or kids or lady at the grocery store to change. It's for us to change, to forgive ourselves. And that can't happen unless we recognize that God forgives us of whatever sin we battle with. So certainly the pride and lust in our lives, the arrogance, the conceit, the gossip, you name your fault, you name your weakness, we all have them. When we bring it to that box, confession, it's a great season to go to confession. It's necessary. Confession and forgiveness from God gives us the ability to forgive ourselves. And it's not the external circumstances. It's not him or her. It's not they or that group. It's us that needs to change. We understand that the great saints in human history were tortured, beat up, ridiculed for years. And they lived with extreme joy and happiness because they lived a life devoted to God, which gave them forgiveness so they could live with ease. Friends in Christ, in just 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, we welcome a God who comes to us as a baby. And all of you parents and all of you grandparents know that there's nothing more important on top of food and nourishment and love than to smile and goo and gah at that baby when they're born. And as they reach 1 year old and 2 years old, there is nothing more important for a grandma and grandpa, a mom and dad to do than to hold that baby, love that baby, and we do that by smiling and being filled with joy around that baby. And babies kind of have that effect on us. So we know that in 2 weeks, as we celebrate Christmas, and we kneel, if we can imagine this, we kneel next to that crib where Jesus will be laid. Jesus, God, comes to us as a baby. We know that he most likely will give us joy in our lives. But that baby that we call God wants so badly to see you and me smiling. And the question for us today, will we be smiling or will our anger prevent us? The lack of forgiveness in our lives prevent us from looking with joy and happiness at that baby who comes to us as God.